Ryan, wait. The United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable William S. Greenberg presiding. All who have business before this court draw near, and you shall be heard. God bless the United States and this honorable court. Please be seated.
Good afternoon. This is Peterman, 16-1093. Will counsel enter their appearances, please?
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Christian McTarnigan from the law firm Chisholm, Chisholm & Kilpatrick, and with me at counsel's table, April O'Donohauer, also of the firm.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Nathan Kirshner, representing the secretary, with me at counsel's table, Richard Daly, deputy chief counsel.
Thanks very much. Do you reserve any time?
Yes, Your Honor. 10 minutes, please.
Fine. Thank you. Proceed.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the court. Mr. Peterman's 40% rating contemplates only his use of insulin, his regulation of activities, and his restricted diet. It does not contemplate the severity of his diabetes overall and his other diabetes symptoms, to include his use of a continuous insulin pump, his frequent interactions with his medical care providers, and his kidney disease with hypertension. These symptoms are identical to, or close to, those noted in both the 60 and the 100% rating criteria and should have led the board to refer his claim for an extra scheduler consideration. Your Honors, the board used the wrong rule. The question is whether the severity of Mr. Peterman's diabetes disability and the symptoms of those of that diabetes disability are contemplated by his assigned rating, not the rating schedule as a whole. The language of the clarified regulation speaks to this, where to accord a justice in the exceptional case where the scheduler evaluation is inadequate to rate a single service-connected disability, an extra scheduler rating is warranted.
So what do you want us to do?
We would like this court to hold that the threshold comparison is between the severity of the disability and the symptoms of the disability to the rating assigned, Your Honor, not the diagnostic code as a whole. This court's case law in Thun supports that, where the severity of the service-connected disability is a consideration in the threshold determination. This court's case in Yancey, this court's holding in Yancey, that the board must first compare the veteran's symptoms to the assigned scheduler rating. It was ratings in that case, but that's because it was the combined effect of multiple service-connected disabilities. And this court's most recent decision in Kane supports it. The extra scheduler rating in this case is what allows Mr. Peterman's average impairment of earning capacity, the impairment in earning capacity that's caused by his cluster of diabetes symptoms, to be adequately compensated. It's the symptom X, Your Honors. Without that, the average impairment in earning capacity that Mr. Peterman suffers as a result of the cluster of diabetes symptoms in his particular case, that's higher than what is contemplated by the 40% rating, by his assigned 40% rating.
So can I, this is a slightly off the beaten path question here, but so there was an amendment to 3.321B that went into effect on January 8th. I'm sure you know about that.
Yes, Your Honor. Clarification.
Right. Well, it changed the rule, and it changed it with respect to multiple disabilities, and that's not an issue here for Mr. Peterman, right?
It is not, Your Honor.
So, but the rule also did some potentially other things, and I want to get your take on whether there's any relevance to this at all. That is, in a separate appeal pending at the court, Morgan, we asked for supplemental briefing, including from your firm, on a question of whether or not the removal of certain language from 3.321B and then the omission of the word referred or referral had an impact on single disability claims. And the Secretary informed us in their supplemental briefing that while not entirely eliminating referral to the director, that in many cases going forward, the extra scheduler decision would be made essentially by the RO itself in the first instance without referral.
Mm-hmm.
Does that have any implication at all on Mr. Peterman's appeal?
I don't think it does, Your Honor. The position that we took, my understanding of the position that we took in Morgan is that there would still have to be some sort of way for the normal adjudication process to happen in order to get it back to the board. So in this case, I think it doesn't have an effect because the remedy here would be remand, because there are still some unanswered factual questions that I think the board has to answer before we're able to get the appropriate understanding of the threshold element here.
Well, what are they?
Well, for instance, I think...
Assuming we remand it, what are you going to argue back there?
That the manifestations of his service-connected diabetes disability, the continuous use of insulin, the nephropathy with the hypertension, Your Honor, that those are facts that demonstrate to the board if they had used the correct rule. And that's what we're asking this court to do is to...
Let me ask about that. Nephropathy, and I'm going to say that.
Kidney disease.
Yeah, I mean, so that is a non-compensable complication that, right, in the 60% rating of the last part of this, plus complications that would not be compensable if separately evaluated, right, that would include nephropathy.
Yes, Your Honor.
Right, and if it were compensable, then it would be in the 100% rating that it would be complications that would be compensable if separately evaluated.
Yes, Your Honor.
You're saying that they should do extra schedule analysis on the 40% for nephropathy simply because it's not there in that section of the DC?
Yes, Your Honor, that's exactly our argument, that it's the rating assigned that is integral to the comparison.
Isn't that the whole point of these successive cumulative ratings? It sort of rolls up symptoms, and as you roll up more symptoms, you ascend the higher scale of ratings. I mean, that's sort of the whole purpose of this type of DC, right?
When it comes to using that to rate on the schedule, Your Honor, yes, because 4.7, as a matter of law, blocks a veteran who has additional symptoms, a more severe disability, if you will, from getting or more nearly approximating a higher rating. And so the available ratings to Mr. Peterman, and that's consistent with Thun, the available scheduler rating for him is only the 40% rating. And so he's left uncompensated for those additional symptoms. And so extra scheduler is what, for lack of a better way to describe it, would make Mr. Peterman whole in the sense that the extra scheduler evaluation is necessary in order to get Mr. Peterman.
Make him whole in what sense? I mean, the Secretary makes a policy determination that based on certain symptoms, this would be the average earnings impairment. If the person simply doesn't have the symptoms for that earnings impairment, what are we making whole? I mean, the idea of extra scheduler, there's something unusual about this factual scenario beyond simply it doesn't qualify for the next higher rating. I mean, what would be unusual about a symptom not being present that would, you know, if present, would give you a higher rating?
Well, what's unusual about it on these facts, Your Honor, is that they are unaccounted for in his 40% rating. So, and maybe I should have used a different wording, but what I was trying to get at is that the average impairment in earning capacity that the Secretary attached, for lack of a better word to describe it, to the 40% rating doesn't contemplate all of the symptoms and the severity of Mr. Peterman's diabetes disability. So the severity element of Thun becomes of the utmost importance. So what makes this disability picture unusual or exceptional, Your Honor, is when you compare it to the 40% rating. It's the appropriate comparison that makes it unusual, Your Honor.
Extra scheduler, statutory. Is it statutory or by regulation?
By regulation, Your Honor. 3.321. I believe it comes from the general statute.
What was the intent?
Well, we know the intent from the...
No, what was the intent of this regulation?
From the Federal Register, Your Honor, in the most recent clarification to the regulation, the Secretary relates that since 1936, his intent is to provide for an extra scheduler evaluation for each service-connected disability for which the scheduler evaluation is inadequate based upon the regulatory criteria.
Well, why isn't that applicable in every case? Maybe it is.
I'm not sure if I'm understanding
your question. Well, I mean, you either have a determination in the expertise of the Secretary of certain percentages, are equal to certain conditions or manifestations, and you reach a point where you have 40 or 60 or 80 or 100%, and then you bring extra scheduler in to what? Fill in the gap between 40 and 60 that you can't get by looking at the schedule?
Yes, Your Honor, because in that hypothetical scenario, the veteran is unable, pursuant to the facts of this case work perfectly to show how and why an extra scheduler rating or referral is required.
But isn't that just maybe, as Judge Toth was, I think, endeavoring to calculate, when is, in broadly speaking, an extra scheduler application appropriate? Just because you haven't reached the 60% or the 80% from the 40%?
No, Your Honor. It's appropriate when you meet the test that's set forth in the Thun analysis. An exceptional or unusual disability picture. In Thun, the court tried to lend some guidance to adjudicators in order to make that determination. And the threshold determination is comparing the severity of the disability and the symptoms of the disability to, in our opinion, the rating criteria in so far as the assigned scheduler rating. And I think Yancey supports that.
And you'd agree that the extra scheduler route is, all things being equal, harder for a claimant.
I think sometimes it can be, Your Honor.
Well, I mean, it's meant to be exceptional, right? And so the mere fact that you get blocked, for lack of a better word, on the scheduler path, right? It's not as if you get to go to this other bucolic world and will magically get the benefit that you're looking for, because you have to establish things on the extra scheduler side of the house that you don't on the scheduler. For example, an impact on employment, generally.
Yes, Your Honor.
Right? So these are just, they may be ending up at the same place, trying to compensate the veteran, make them whole, in your words. But if a veteran's able to get there on the schedule side, that's easier than having to prove that they're exceptional in their own personal circumstance, generally speaking, right?
I think it can be, but as you note, it is a continuation of the road to the appropriate level of compensation for the average impairment in earning capacity that veteran suffers when it's more.
So in other words, you're saying that the Secretary, by analogy to Congress in a statute can't account for every conceivable situation and therefore leaves it to an administrative agency to fill in the gaps by regulation or adjudication otherwise. Are you drawing an analogy here to this regulation about extra scheduling being the Secretary's way of dealing with unanticipated situations in the percentage?
I think it can work like that when the elements are met. And I think the elements are met when the particular service-connected disability is compared to the rating assigned. And so that is the rote construction of the rating criteria. So what Congress intended, what the Secretary described as, this is what 40% equates to in terms of dollars and cents, and these are the symptoms and the severity that those dollars and cents sort of equate to.
Right.
But when that doesn't work, when the cluster of symptoms or the severity of the disability causes an additional, on average, a higher impairment of earning capacity, that is the regulation that the Secretary can use to make sure a veteran is fully compensated for the disabilities that stem from their time in service. I think that's a long yes, Your Honor.
Quickly, I want to sort of rewind you, and forgive me if you cover this ground, but so earlier you were arguing about, you know, viewing the contemplated question in terms of the component parts of a DC, and is there, what was the support that you cited for that? I mean, is there a case or anything that's done that where it's sort of broken a DC into parts and, you know, viewed whether a symptom was contemplated or not, just merely, you know, by one aspect of a DC?
And by one aspect of the diagnostic code, do you mean an assigned rating?
Take our 40%, sure. Right, whether it contemplates something. Obviously, the 60 may and the 100 may, mm-hmm. something that breaks a diagnostic code down into component parts and sort of does it.
The case that comes to mind most closely to this situation is that the Yancey court used the words rating assigned, the scheduler rating, the rating assigned. So I think that speaks to what the appropriate comparison is. And in this particular case, because the higher scheduler evaluations are unavailable to Mr. Peterman because of Section 4.7, I think that makes the analysis even more directly related to the comparison between his scheduler rating that he has and the symptoms and severity of his disability as a whole, because on page 115 of Thun, they set out that two-part test. The court sets out that two-part test. But in the previous page, on page 114, the umbrella of extra scheduler ratings are when the available scheduler evaluations for that service-connected disability are inadequate. In here, the available scheduler evaluation, Mr. Peterman's 40% rating, is inadequate to compensate him fully for the occupational effects of his service-connected disabilities. As noted by those symptoms that he has being in those higher rating criteria. That in and of itself shows that these are typically more severe symptoms and symptoms that cause, on average, a higher level of impairment of earning capacity than what the 40% contemplates, which is only the use of insulin, the restricted diet, and his regulation of activities.
Anything else?
If there are no further questions, Your Honors.
We'll wait to hear from you on rebuttal.
Thank you,
Secretary.
Your
Honor.
Your Honors, may it please the Court. The Secretary urges the Court to affirm the Board's decision, specifically that part which declined to refer appellant's diabetes for an extra scheduler evaluation. Your Honor, Section 3.321 applies to extra scheduler evaluations, not intra-scheduler evaluations. This case is about manifestations contemplated by the rating schedule, specifically Diagnostic Code 7913. This Court and the Federal Circuit in Middleton have held that Diagnostic Code 7913 is a part of a structured scheme of specific, successive, cumulative criteria for establishing a disability rating. Each higher rating includes the same criteria as the lower rating plus distinct new criteria. Nothing appellant points to here and nothing in the record demonstrates any kind of disability that is not already contemplated by Diagnostic Code 7913.
So could I ask a question here? Let's just assume, right, that it's not an assumption. This is what I think, that because I wrote it in King, that the extra scheduler and the scheduler analysis are simply two means to accomplish the same goal. Okay? Let's just start with that assumption for me. Okay? If that's the case, then the idea of the successive rating criteria on the scheduler side is that, in some measure, that's more difficult than your garden variety scheduler thing to meet because it builds, as you say, you know, A plus A plus B, A plus B plus C, etc. So that means that all things being equal, a claimant might have a harder time establishing a higher scheduler rating because they don't get the benefit of 4.7, right? They really have to get to fully to that next level. But why should that mean anything for extra scheduler, right? In other words, all that could do is say, okay, you get shunted then in your particular situation to the extra scheduler side of the house, where you're going to have to show us things that you wouldn't have to establish under the scheduler side, right? Because somebody who is in a successive rating criteria situation could also be as exceptionally disabled, if you will, as somebody who isn't. And so why should we foreclose the extra scheduler rating just because a higher level of rating has a symptom?
Well, two things, Your Honor. First, this case is distinguishable from King in that in King, appellant alleged that there were symptoms or effects of the disability that were not already contemplated by the diagnostic code itself. I think there were dizziness or some other things the appellant there was alleging were his symptoms of that disability. Here, all of the manifestations of the diabetes are specifically contemplated in the successive and cumulative scheme of the rating code. The other part is, well, perhaps in a successive cumulative scheme such as this one, it may be more difficult to obtain an extra scheduler evaluation. It's not impossible. As long as the first step of THUN is met, that is that there are symptoms, as Yancey said, that are not contemplated by the rating schedule, if, for example, appellant's diabetes were to manifest with nosebleeds or something like that, it still would be possible for him to have an extra scheduler evaluation.
But it is the Secretary's position that, assume that you're working your way up the rating, 10%, 30%, 50%. And when you take the rating schedule in a successive rating situation, if you take the full range of the schedule and it has symptomatology from A through M, okay, it is your position that nothing from A through M could be used at the first step of THUN to satisfy it, right?
Correct. As long as they're contemplated by the criteria, Your Honor.
So what's that? But see, what I'm trying to figure out is what's the logic of that if what we're doing is trying to contemplate a veteran? Assume that a veteran has a 30% rating. So, and the M, the symptom M, is at 100, right? It turns out that veteran also has symptom M, but nothing else. And it actually causes him to have marked interference with employment. Let's just assume that. What logic would it be to say that because that symptom, just that one, happens to be at the way end of the diagnostic code, up at the 100, that because it happens to be there, we won't even look to see whether this is an exceptional disability picture?
I think that's the point, Your Honor. The disability picture here, especially in this case, is not exceptional. It's expected. And 7252B prohibits the court from examining or interfering with the rating schedule sort of as it is, as it's written. And the policy decision here for DC 7913 was for the Secretary to give ratings at 10, 20, 40, 60, and 100% levels. What appellant seeks to do is use 3.321 to create out of whole cloth a 50% evaluation where there is none. But the Secretary made a policy decision that the ratings were to go from 40% to 60%, and the court is prohibited from reviewing that. Now,
well, you should say more about that then, because if we're actually prohibited from doing it, that's jurisdictional, and that should be the first thing, right?
No, Your Honor, I mean, as we put in our 30B in Marcelino, that's one of the things that the court should not be reviewing is the content of the rating schedule itself. Now, that's not exactly what appellant's arguing. Appellant is arguing that his symptoms, which fall in the middle of the rating schedule, should instead be taken outside of that rating schedule and placed into the gap, into the void, outside of the rating scheduler criteria, which is the gap that 3.321 was designed to fill. So you have to get outside of the schedule before 3.321 is for application.
So does the Secretary argue now that the court lacks jurisdiction or not, right? I mean, because that's a binary question. It's like being pregnant. We either are or we aren't, right?
No. Your Honor, unlike being pregnant, it depends.
You should talk to my wife about that.
So the question is, if the court were to use 3.321 to, in effect, make a 50% evaluation within this criteria, I think the court would be prohibited from doing that jurisdictionally because it can't revise the rating schedule. However, the court would not be prohibited from, a narrower ruling that I don't think would be in appellant's favor either in any way in this case, but that
For example, to use the nosebleeds again, if appellant exhibited a symptom that was outside of the rating criteria, 3.321 would still be okay to apply. But I think that is, again, not something that we have here, because as the appellant acknowledges, all of his symptoms are contemplated by the rating criteria. The continuous insulin pump is contemplated by the criteria. The hypoglycemic time when he was treated by an EMT in
appellants? I mean, if I don't want to mischaracterize appellant's argument, but it would basically be if one symptom M, presented with such severity that even though it showed up lower on the rating, it sort of brought it into an unusual picture. I mean, what would you say to that argument? That you could have an isolated symptom which doesn't show up, but it could manifest in such a severe form that it could present an unusual disability picture, such that extra schedule were warranted.
I think that's hypothetically possible, Your Honor, but again, I don't think that's what we have here. None of these symptoms are exceptional or unusual. I don't want to foreclose a hypothetical scenario, but I think certainly in the cases of the specific successive cumulative criteria like you have in Diagnostic Code 7913, you really need to have that symptom that is not contemplated. And here we have quite an array of symptoms and even complications that are contemplated by this diagnostic code. So it's a very comprehensive diagnostic code, and I think to get onto the extra scheduler path, it's more difficult than in other cases, but I think here it's the correct result.
And extra scheduler referral is discretionary, right? I mean, the board could refer anybody for any reason it wanted for extra scheduler. I mean, I suppose it would have to provide the examiner some type of explanation, but it need not provide us with one.
Well, it would need to at least show make a factual finding that the first and second thumb criteria are met before it would refer. And here we have the board making opposite factual finding.
That's an internal policy. I mean, but I'm just asking, I mean, the board has the authority intra-VA to refer for whatever reason it wants. Now, it may not be mandated to refer, but it can refer under its discretion, just like it can grant under its discretion or not.
I suppose that's true, Your Honor, but again, the board doesn't make such a finding without the appropriate factual findings. So it would make Fund 1, it would check the box for Fund 1, then check Fund 2, and then it would proceed to refer, Your Honor.
Nosebleeds. I got one. Anything more?
Yes, I have one. I have another. I want to ask you the same question that I asked the appellant's counsel. Is there any impact on our decision in this appeal of the position that the change to 3.321B goes beyond collective disabilities and will affect the manner in which individual extra scheduler disabilities are evaluated?
No, Your Honor. The Secretary says there is no change based on the revision to the 3.321 on this case.
So there's no impact?
No impact.
No impact, although the Secretary does believe that or is going to change the referral mechanism,
correct.
At least as of...
Correct, as we said, and I believe it was Morgan.
Morgan.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Nothing further. The Secretary urges the Court to affirm.
Thank you. Rebuttal.
Your Honors, King controls here. Mr. Peterman is not compensated for the severity and symptoms that he has that are insufficient to get him to the next higher rating. The Secretary is looking to the wrong comparison. The comparison must be between the veteran's assigned rating and the symptoms and severity of the veteran's condition overall. This isn't a challenge to the rating schedule, Your Honors. This isn't a case where appellant is challenging the fact that there is a 0% rating in the rating criteria. This isn't a case that involves a challenge to the trauma requirement, the tinnitus trauma requirement in the diagnostic code. This isn't a case that involves challenging the fact that obesity is not in the regulations, not in the regulations for a directly compensable disability. This case involves the proper interpretation and then application of 3.321.
Anything else?
No, Your Honors. I would just ask that this court please hold that the threshold element requires a comparison between the severity and symptomatology of a veteran's disability and the assigned rating.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Understand your argument. The briefs and the argument were excellent, and we'll counsel and reserve opinion.